Welcome. Well, hello there. Welcome to another episode of Getting Social with Miriam, and it is so wonderful to have you here. So today, I have the pleasure of interviewing Kirsten Kloss, and Kirsten is a sales strategist and list builder and lead generation expert with over 20 years of experience helping small and medium-sized businesses. Over his career, Kirsten has collected an arsenal of very unique proprietary strategies that blend classic TV interviews with online tools like YouTube, LinkedIn, and banner retargeting to find his clients and find his clients' new business. Kirsten developed Skype interview marketing as a technique that affordably positions individuals and companies as industry leaders and subject matter experts. His web TV interview shows conducted over a simple Skype call look like real TV and are promoted to high-profile news sites such as USA Today, CNN, Entrepreneur, Examiner, as well as Forbes, Huffington Post, and Inc. Kirsten has interviewed dozens of high-profile authors and business leaders over the past several years, such as Brian Tracy, Steve Schiffman, Guy Kawaski, Brett Wilson, and they were all guests on his own web TV show at bizdevweekly.com. And almost everything Kirsten does involves LinkedIn in some way. And actually, today we're going to be covering some tips on how to master LinkedIn. What an exciting thing, because so many people are very, very confused about how to maximize LinkedIn. And Kirsten is going to unravel a bunch of and mysteries. So I just want to welcome Kirsten. Hi, Kirsten.
Thanks for inviting me on the show, Miriam. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and thank you so much for coming on. So yeah, LinkedIn is one of those platforms that I think confuses a lot of people, because a lot of people have this attitude that LinkedIn is just another social network. And the fact of the matter is, yes, it may be another social network. However, it is certainly a unique type of social network. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, not only, I imagine it's social to a certain extent, but I consider it less to be a social network and more a business networking tool. And with a reach, last I looked, the reach eclipses 313 million users. So if you imagine that you have a pool of that many people that you can reach for your business, I mean, we're talking a third of that is in the United States, just under a third of that is in Europe. That is a huge pool of people and very, very targeted profiles, so you can actually communicate with people that are business-minded and not just social. So it's a great tool.
Right.
I've benefited greatly from it.
Yeah, and I have to say that I do find that there's a much different atmosphere in LinkedIn, say, that there would be on Facebook. You know, there's a much different atmosphere. Whereas, like you said, it's a professional network, and you're going to be connecting with professionals, whereas with, say, Facebook, you're just connecting just to connect. Some of them may be for business, or some of them may be just for pleasure. But with LinkedIn, it's extremely rare just to connect for pleasure. There's usually a professional reason for it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, what I found actually quite warming is that when I approach people on LinkedIn, I actually get a very high percentage of people that actually are friendly back. It's not like, you know, LinkedIn originally was viewed, or by me at least, was viewed as a network of people that are in your tight-knit group of business professionals, like people you work with, people you know, and your colleagues and your clients. And I was always concerned that if I went outside of that group, I'd be shunned. But the opposite actually seems to be happening. It's a great way of connecting with new people aligned with your business and engage them and actually build trust and build relationships. It's really good for that.
Yeah, and you know what? It also really depends on how you approach them too. Because the problem is, if you all of a sudden spam LinkedIn members, then that's not going to be good either. So it really, you have to approach them the right way in order for them to be really receptive to you.
Yeah, it's you're right, Miriam. It's, well, it's like anything, you know. Mm-hmm. A great analogy is that, you know, that guy that shows up at the party, and the cocktail party, and everyone is mingling around and talking about interesting matters, interesting things that happen in their day, talking about their worlds in casual ways. And if somebody comes to the conversation, and, you know, with a stack of business cards, and says, "Do you have a business card? Can we exchange business cards?" That guy's going to mm-hmm. be a moron. And essentially, it's the same thing on LinkedIn. If you approach with
right.
that kind of attitude, you're just going to get booted out.
Of course. Of course. Yeah, no, you have to develop a relationship first before anything else happens beyond that, if it does, because it doesn't always. However,
mm-hmm.
if you open
mm-hmm.
up the relationship, you never know. So I'm going to ask
yeah,
you a couple
absolutely.
Questions, if you don't mind. Now,
sure.
In order for others to be receptive to you on LinkedIn, you have to have an attractive and compelling LinkedIn profile. So what do you suggest that people should do in order to maximize their profile as much as they can?
That's interesting because a lot of users fill in a profile purely to make it look like an effective resume. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, if that's your goal is to just be there in case a recruiter approaches you, you know, that's one strategy. And
right.
you know, there's professionals with regards to recruiting that can help you. I do it a little bit differently for communication and for networking purposes. But I think the methodology is probably similar, and that is people want to get to know people. They don't want to get to know a bunch of fluff. They want to know
mm-hmm.
what's this person done, where are they going, what are some of their accomplishments, and they also want to see some examples. They want to see confirmation that you've done these things. So that's real important in the LinkedIn. So obviously, they also need to know a very clear statement of what you offer. And that's like any pitch. You want to have that pitch line. And it has to be a clear, friendly statement stating in one or two sentences exactly what you're about in summary.
Mm-hmm.
And offers value. You got to be able to offer value. And if you're communicating on LinkedIn with the aim of broadening your network, most important is you've got to be tabling value right up front.
Right.
So that's
right.
you know those kinds of information pieces can be included in the form of editorials. There's actually ways to post articles and editorials on there and offering help. I often
mm-hmm.
recommend even including a short video, even if it's a selfie,
mm-hmm.
you know, done in your boardroom or in your in your office with your iPhone. Do it just a short 1 minute introduction because people get to know who you are as a person.
Right.
I find that very important.
Hmm. Yeah, well, that's actually a really good idea. It's just how many people are comfortable doing that. But you know what? If you want to make your LinkedIn profile stand out, you do have to step out of your comfort zone, I suppose.
Mm. And always, always have your photo on there. Don't put,
and
a proper headshot, a proper clean headshot, with
mm-hmm.
done by a photographer or somebody you know that can take nice photographs. Don't do that party pic. Don't have a picture of skiing down a mountain unless you're that's your profession and they know of you from that. It's not relevant and people will be turned off.
Oh no, definitely, and that is something that I actually have taught. Many clients as well. That really goes for any social media platform, not just LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
And they say it's best to
yeah.
keep it constant. You know, whatever picture you have, use it for all of your connections. Now, I'm not sure if that's, I don't know if you really have to do that. You just want to make sure that, yeah, absolutely, it has to be clean. I mean, you don't have to pay a lot of money to have a professional photographer do it. But you do need to make it clean. You do need. I do 100% agree with that. And the thing is,
mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of profiles where people just have objects as their profile picture, and I'm like, what the heck is this? No one's going to want anything to do with
and
them.
They're trying to hide from something. They're definitely trying to hide from something. And, you know, leading to that, I mean, you're trying to build trust very quickly, right?
Yes.
So I find that's the quickest way. And of course, communicating with people in your vertical, in your world of expertise, and that they see that you're a real person, they're going to open up to you. There's also one thing I didn't mention. It's the idea of social proof. You want to have some. It'd be nice to have references, and there's the LinkedIn approach is to give people kind of those referral testimonial. Basically who these people are, what they're specializing in, what do they call them? They're not skills, but they're skills, and you basically endorse skills. Well, that's one thing that's great to have a group of people. But people, when they get started, they don't have a lot of that, right? It does come over time.
Right.
But is to have some kind of endorsement up there and recommendation from someone you know that gives you some social proof. So ask some friends of yours to recommend you. I often recommend recommending them first and doing a proper recommendation on LinkedIn. There's a button there. You just press it, recommend a friend, and do a testimonial for them and say, hey, would you mind doing one back? And adding a couple of those really do help as well.
Yes, they do. I have found that for myself too. Now, my question is, if you want to find connections, like which everybody needs to do in order to go on LinkedIn, they got to go find those connections. So how do people go about finding these connections? Because the thing is that you can't just add people if you don't know them. You know, I mean, you can indicate that they're a friend, but they're very strict about how you add new connections. So how do you find connections that are going to be receptive to you connecting with them?
Well, obviously, friends of friends is always a great way to do it. You can go through the task of trying to connect with people and get introduced through them. That's one way. Mm-hmm. I find that user groups in LinkedIn are underutilized by most people who are trying to expand their networks. User groups are very, very useful because the people that are in user groups are typically high-level connectors. Those are people getting out there. So they're going to be the most receptive to you engaging them as a connection on LinkedIn. I call those connectors. I don't necessarily consider them to be the people you ultimately want to have as in your list as potential business partners or clients or future jobs. These are the people that are connected to the people that you might want to connect with in the future. And going into user groups that are specialized in your field of expertise and joining those groups and engaging in some conversations in those groups, posting a few comments on other people's on other people's articles and posts and making comments, and just inviting people and say, hey, you know, I'm also in this business. Thought we might want to connect. Would you like to connect back? I find people are highly likely to add you back, and that builds your kind of core list of connectors. And if you look in LinkedIn, there's a tool. It gives you a chance to see how many people are connected to you through people you're connected with. And you'll see that that grows very quickly when you add 50 people to your contact list. You see all of a sudden all of these people are connected to you on a second level. If you are in the same wheelhouse as them, there's a high likelihood that those people might want to connect with you. And you'll find that that's a very effective way of reaching those people. Now, if you're going into groups and you've added, let's say, 200 or 300, you can add about 50 people a day in groups and connect with them. Once you've connected with them, this second tier group grows very rapidly. A strategy that works really well is to go look at their profiles quickly and wait for them to come look at your profile. When they've looked at your profile again, you can actually message them and say, hey, I thought you were interested in my profile. I was interested in your profile. Do we have an alignment? Would you like to maybe connect with me? And when I do that, I always do that with the strategy that I want to give forward first. So I always mention, if you'd like to connect with me and leverage my network, please join. I'd be more than happy to connect with you with anyone that I know in my network. That give forward strategy helps open the doors for me. It works really, really well.
Oh, that's actually... That's brilliant. I like that. That's actually a really, really good tactic there. Now, here's a question that a lot of people have asked me And I'm even going to ask you this. How many messages a day can you send your connections and others in your groups?
Well, it depends on where you're communicating. If you're going to communicate in groups and directly with people in groups, I think the limit's 100 per day for messages.
Okay.
Okay. Inviting people, it's about 50 in groups. There's a total, I think there's a number somewhere in the 300 invitations a day that you're allowed to invite people to connect with you.
Okay.
You got to be really careful on LinkedIn, though, because, mm-hmm. I mean, it won't get you in big trouble, but roughly the number is around 1,000 a day of interactions on LinkedIn.
Ooh, yeah.
So if you're, let's say you hire staff that are doing this for you and trying to connect mm-hmm. for you, you got to be careful not to eclipse that 1,000. Otherwise, your account might be slapped down for overuse. And what they're worried about is automation systems that are going
mm-hmm.
to just
which there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that. I know.
Yeah. So you got to be careful of that. And it comes back to, you know, don't be a scumbag. Essentially, is what it comes down to. Communicate the best way possible. You know, that's really what it comes down to.
You got to play within the rules. That's for sure. But you know what? Absolutely. You don't want to be reported over and over again for spam, even if you're not intending to spam people. If you're doing the same thing over and over again, then it's a problem, because you know what? The thing with this automation, these automated software, is that you tend to message the same people twice, and that is where the problem lies.
Mm-hmm. That's not good. I mean, twice quickly just indicates that you're sending them a copy-paste message, and it'll make you look like, you know, oops, I get what you're doing. But if you send them the same message identically, 5 days later, that just sounds like you're doing something in order to annoy people. They're not going to like
right.
that, for sure.
No, they're not. Because you know what? The thing is, if you're on LinkedIn, you're going to have to expect to be approached. I mean, that's just the way it is, right? It's just a matter of how you do it. It's a matter of how you do it, okay?
Yeah.
You have to offer people, like you said, you have to offer value. If you want to connect with someone too, you have to offer them something, and don't sell.
Mm-hmm.
Because if it's meant mm-hmm. to happen, it'll happen. Yeah.
It'll
happen
trade.
At some point.
And,
yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So that's really good. Now, the other thing too is that it's always best to join groups that, you know, that have your market in it. Because I think a lot of people end up joining groups that are full of their competitors, which is actually a mistake if you want to use it for business, unless you want to do business with your competitors, which a lot of times in the social media field, that's what happens, which is a great field to be in, because you do a lot of collaborating, right, even with the same market.
Well, and if it depends on what market you're in, I would say I use LinkedIn as much as a direct communication tool as mm-hmm. I use it as an awareness campaign tool, because mm-hmm. what happens is if you have thousands of people that are connected with you, willingly connected with you on LinkedIn, when mm-hmm. you update your profile, or if you update with a status update on your LinkedIn profile, and you do mm-hmm. this a couple times a week, maybe three times a week, these people mm-hmm. see your face a couple times or three times a week, and it becomes top of mind, essentially. Now, if you're connecting with people that are in user groups that are your competitors, mm-hmm. you're also connecting potentially with their clients, which could eventually be your clients. So it is
right.
a rather passive way to reach new clients that are aligned in your business, because, you know, there's attrition everywhere, so you never know. So mm-hmm. I don't necessarily dissuade people from connecting with their competitors.
Mm-hmm.
Just be wary that they're going to be following you and watching what you're doing.
Right.
I don't necessarily believe that my competition is only going to be bad for me. I mean,
no.
What do they say? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. There's nothing really wrong with that, in my opinion, unless you're in an industry where it is truly detrimental, and of course, unless your company that you work for has a policy against that.
Mhm. Oh, I'm in complete agreement with that, because I think you should do half and half. You know, join the groups that are in your market and join groups that are what who you're targeting, right? So no, I mean, I have a lot of, you know, I guess you could say competitors that are in my connections, and that's fine, because you know what, I have found that they've outsourced work to me, so they actually become a client. You know, I mean, that's it's happened many times, and so that's why I think it's a good thing. It can be a good thing in the market, in this market. I mean, yeah.
I mean, while we're on the topic of groups, and I don't want to get away from groups, but there's, you know, we should actually talk about this idea of user groups and posting. I find a lot of people, I find this on a regular basis where someone will post an article from, I don't know, they'll post an article from Forbes, or they'll post an article from a blog post from somewhere.
Right.
And what they're basically doing is, instead of creating their own information and sharing it with people, they're just taking someone else's information and sharing it, you know, adding basically to the spam pool. Okay. You know, that's there is a strategy there that, you know, your people are going to see what you're doing and see that you're interested in something and they're maybe interested in. And there's going to be the dialogue and the correspondence afterwards. I suggest that a little differently. I do something called curation, but in the same sense. But instead of curating directly to a blog post that's somewhere else, I actually curate to my own blog post that references the other piece of content.
Okay, that's smart.
Now, that way you're bringing people to you and then handing them off to the other person. It is an ethical process. I mean, people do not mind curation of their content as long as you're offering some commentary and promoting them and not just copy and pasting their entire article and assuming it's
right,
your own.
Right.
You know, first paragraph of their article, write a comment about it, click here and read, you know, Jane's article or Miriam's article. The thing about LinkedIn is I use LinkedIn to get people to see me and what I do outside of LinkedIn. And a lot of people don't do that properly. They send people to someone else on the internet. And I think that's the mistake that happens in a lot of cases in groups and in status updates, is they're sending people elsewhere. I'd rather send people to what I do in my world, because I can do stuff with them. I can create a call to action on a page, say, here, chat with me, live chat, message me. And there's many tactics and you know, with regards to connecting with them, tagging them, following them afterwards, and being top of mind in other ways. So that's how I handle it, instead of just sending them off somewhere else. And that's, I think, an important strategy to build trust and build communications on LinkedIn, is to do that. There's something called remarketing. It's a product that's been around by Google for probably 5 years, 10 years, maybe, I don't know, 8 years, since Google started doing AdWords. They moved into this idea of banner remarketing. So if it's ever happened to you, go to someone's website, and you know, it can be annoying. You go to a plumbing site, and then you go to another website, and oh, there's a plumbing ad. It's following you around the internet, right?
Right.
That's called remarketing. And what I use that for is, when I curate content on my own websites, invite people to watch my content or watch curated content that I've shared through my website. I tag them with this remarketing, and very subtly, I pepper in banner advertising that reminds people of more things I can offer them. And that blends in with other websites they see on the internet. It's a strategy that very few people use on LinkedIn. It's a way of becoming top of mind in the worlds of those that you're trying to attract to you and your business.
Okay, very smart. I like that. I think that's very, very smart. And that does work, I suppose. That works quite well.
There's some people might not like the fact that a banner is following them, but in my opinion, if as long as it's relevant, all it basically does is replaces Citibank's ad with your ad, and it's very cost effective to do it. You know, very cost effective.
Going back to your
original question though, Miriam, about finding people on LinkedIn. There's another way to find people on LinkedIn, and LinkedIn likes this one because you're paying LinkedIn. But you can actually create a business page on LinkedIn, a business profile on LinkedIn, and post to that business profile. And then you can pay LinkedIn to deliver that post to your target market. So you can select from the 300 million people. You can can segment that list into geography. So you can go only Chicago. You can go only New York. You can go only Canada in my case.
Right.
And then pick the specialties of the people you're trying to approach. You can target their interests. You can target what category of business they're in. You can target what their specialty is, as well as their position. So you can go CEOs only of companies larger than 200 employees and have your post delivered to them. That's really powerful if you want to draw people in. But again, I blend that with the banner remarketing, because then they come and they look at it, they click it, they go to my blog post, they get tagged, and then the banners follow them afterwards. That's my strategy for that.
Wow.
And of course, they'll
hit
me on LinkedIn.
I'm going to have to look more into that, because I can tell that works. I can just tell that's actually quite powerful. That is very, very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you so much for sharing all that really, really useful stuff that can really help a lot of business owners, because LinkedIn really can be powerful if it's utilized properly. It really can be.
Very much.
Yeah.
Very much. It's like, I think most people are just using 10% of the potential of LinkedIn.
Oh, yeah, I think so. It's the potential is very high, and you don't even have to upgrade. You can, you don't have to upgrade even. Is that correct?
Well, I use the business profile because it just gives me more depth in what I can do. I don't know, it costs me $50 a month or whatever it is. It's not a big deal.
Right.
But, yeah, you can do most of this with a simple free LinkedIn account.
Okay. That's very important, because a lot of people are probably wondering, well, this sounds like a lot. However, do I have to upgrade? So, yeah, thanks for clearing that up. Now, are there anything?
The banners will cost you some money if you're going to do the banner targeting thing. But you set a budget of $100 a month. And you have banners following people. And you don't pay if they see your banners. You only pay if you click on it. So, in my opinion, that's a good mix.
Mix. No, I was going to ask, because actually we're coming up, the time is coming up, so I just want to ask you if there's any other tips you want to give.
Any other tips? It comes back to the right and wrong way to approach people. If you're connecting with people, here's the other thing that's kind of important, is that when people do connect with you on LinkedIn, send them a message right away. And thank them for connecting with you. Engage them in that sense, because you never know. It's another touch point. You never know whether or not they have an opportunity to. And just thanking them and offering them again, supporting them and saying, if you want to connect with anybody on my network, please feel free to message me. I think that's important. And the other one is update your profile, update your statuses on at least once a week. Just put something up there.
Right.
And what happens is you stay top of mind. So those would probably be the two recommendations, or the three recommendations. Be social, be friendly, post appropriate content, and stay current and update on a regular basis, and you'll see results.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Kirsten. So I'm going to ask you, can you share your social media, any websites you want to share, anything you'd like to share? How can people connect with you?
Well, first of all, I have a very unique name, if you're watching this online, you can see the spelling of my name. Just Google me. There's a lot on there. I have all the social networks, but LinkedIn, obviously, I'm an open networker. So if you're going to want to connect with me on LinkedIn, there's going to be no risk that I'm going to say no to you. There won't be any blemish on your record. So feel free to reach out to me on my LinkedIn profile under. Just search for Kirsten Kloss. And if you want to connect with me on the other social networks, the Twitters and the Facebooks, by all means do so. Or my website. My business show is newlucid.tv. It's also bizdevweekly.com. And you can take a look at some of the programming on there. And if you have any questions, just reach out to me. I'd be more than happy to answer any of your questions.
Well, thank you so much, Kirsten. It was such a pleasure. You provided a lot of really, really great and just very useful information. So thank you. Thank you for being a guest. And everyone, Everybody, you have yourselves a wonderful week, and I will see you next week. Bye for now.
Bye for now.